On the KSRO live line is Brian Sobel from Sobel Communications in Petaluma. Brian, good to have you back.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I am superb. Thank you for asking.
Good.
The weather's beautiful and things are moving along swimmingly.
Well they're moving here, not so much in Washington.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, unless you talk about Washington. And wow, let's talk first about Nancy Pelosi's time on the House floor yesterday. And it was over 8 hours long, and it was a history-making length, in fact. And she spent time, in the words of Dreamers, talking about Dreamers in America and wanting desperately to attach a protection for DACA folks to be included in the budget proposal. Will it have an effect, do you think?
Probably not so much at the end of the day. We watched the Senate go through the same thing a couple of weeks ago during the government shutdown. Chuck Schumer tried to force DACA into the budget discussion, and eventually he had to capitulate because people did not want to see a government shutdown, and it was not a popular subject set side by side with a government shutdown. So, to Nancy Pelosi's credit, I mean, she talked for over 8 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
Little known thing is that, you know, there is not a filibuster available to people in on the House side.
Right.
There is unlimited debate on the Senate side. So anyway, she was able to talk under, you know, the ability to kind of extend her remarks. And 8 hours is a very long time to be on the floor talking about,
especially when you're not reading the text of Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss, which has been used in other efforts.
Over the years, we've seen some pretty amusing examples of that kind of thing. No, she, I checked in over and over again to listen, and you know, it was compelling. But whether it's going to make a difference, we'll see a little bit later today.
Yeah, how close are we to a deal?
Well, the Senate is getting set to vote. You know, to avert a government shutdown at midnight again tonight, and then it'll flip over to the House side, and I think Speaker Ryan feels like he's got the votes. Although the conservative wing of the Republican Party on the House side, they are not thrilled with a budget that increases the national debt. I mean, it's one of the things they talk about in their districts all the time. So it's complicated business, but I'm guessing they're trying to corral the votes as we speak.
Yeah, because they don't want to stop. Gap measure at this point. They want a 2-year budget deal.
Well, this is the whole thing.
Exactly.
These CRs, these continuing resolutions, put both the Senate and the House in a position of having to explain to the constituents back home why they can't seem to get a budget done, and people are sick and tired of it.
Yeah, we are. We are. Anytime there is the threat, and it seems like there is the repetitive threat of a government shutdown until they get this nailed down. It's not like they didn't know the budget was coming up. You know what I mean? Like we all do.
Yeah. Pat, this is what upsets people.
Yeah.
They all know the deadlines. Everything seems to occur only in the last 24 hours, sometimes the last 12 or 8 hours, and it's upsetting to people because, you know, we're all for the best deal being cut, of course, but these people are all working together all week, and people expect that they should be working this stuff out way ahead of deadlines.
And Brian, of course, we have to talk this morning about the latest White House removal. Not removal, I should say. He's relinquishing his job, resigning, the White House Secretary Rob Porter, after, you know, all of the allegations from his two ex-wives of physical abuse, domestic violence, etc. And apparently Ivanka Trump was one of the ones very, very upset once she was learned about this situation. And then again, sources say this morning that the Chief of Staff Kelly, knew about these allegations for months.
Well, we don't know everything. You know, the removal is, if the story is true, is more than appropriate. The idea that these people, and it doesn't matter whether they're Republicans or Democrats, people work for government. They have their own lives. Sometimes they get things come to the surface. And in this case, domestic abuse obviously has no place, and he's got to go. What Kelly knew and when he knew it, we'll learn more about that. But there's always two sides to the story. Actually, there's, you know, truth has three sides. Your truth, my truth, and the truth. And we're learning that in Washington, D.C.
And one of the things that was not surprising but noteworthy as I was watching the State of the Union address, you know, normally at this time with what everything that's going on in the country, the current president would have addressed one of the biggest issues in the country, and that is the Me Too movement. And of course, he couldn't really because of allegations against him, or and probably any number of other reasons. I'm starting to wonder if this president just doesn't like women.
Well,
really, I'm starting to wonder.
Well, I don't know how to answer that. I'm not in his heart or his mind. He certainly has married a few and been with a lot.
So well, yeah, he likes them for a while.
but I realize that at the end of the day, if he considers women second class citizens or something, that could explain a lot of behavior. But you know, I'm really reluctant as an analyst to kind of look at that because I really don't know. You know, it's kind of what I say on a lot of talk shows and everything else. I do not, Pat, listen a whole lot to what he says. I watch very closely what he does, and that so his time in office has been tumultuous. It's been different. You would have thought in that State of the Union speech, he would have mentioned the Me Too movement in terms of a national discussion.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. But the Me Too movement, of course, is cutting across every line of
every
society,
occupation,
including the one
right,
that we're talking on right now. You know, the entertainment media everywhere, and it might have been wise for him to bring it up. And by the way, he talks a lot about things that he has, you know, in some way been accused of. So
yeah, he does.
It's an omission, no explanation for it.
Should we be surprised by anything he does?
Well, bear in mind, this is a new type of president, a unique type of president, a president that is using social media, which is our new medium. There will never be a presidency again like the presidencies we knew as kids where, you know, written statements came out or you saw the president once a year at a State of the Union. I mean, now the president is omnipresent. This particular president is a tweet machine, which I think is very damaging. Maybe the next president won't be that person, but we have to understand that we're living in a time of instant communication, and that has changed everything. Stories that emerge are disputed and then knocked down the next day. It just runs on a 24-hour cycle. I know your phone goes off every 3 seconds. Mine does too.
Right.
Stories from Washington that are true at 9:30 in the morning are debunked by 10:30. And so as consumers of politics and everything, frankly, we have to take a little longer view of what we're hearing. And remember, at the end of the day, and this isn't just about the president, it's about everybody across the board, that you know, you are innocent until proven guilty. And many of these stories that emerge prove somebody guilty way before the evidence has arrived. And I think that's a worrisome trend.
I do, too. In fact, I've talked about that many, many times when the Me Too movement began. Well, even before that, with Bill Cosby and with a number of other circumstances, that there is something called due process in this country, and that we must not lose sight of that, because in the end, anybody can be accused of anything.
Well, and often are, and in politics, you know, something I've been analyzing and watching and talking about for many, many years. Stories run around Congress about Congressperson X, Y, or Z, and sometimes more comes out, and sometimes it's people trying to undermine that person for political reasons. And right now in Washington, D.C., it's a very divisive atmosphere, and we can't get around that. It's not the most divisive we've been in our history, the founding fathers, certainly, because they were all fathers, were much more argumentative and suspicious of motives. Somebody would have to go back and really look at that history, as some of us have. But it's bad right now, and I think it's going to take a president that comes along that can unite people and find common ground. You know, this country was built on compromise, not on winning 100% of anything. I mean, we all chuckled when Charlie Sheen talked about winning as if losing and not winning a whole thing was bad. I mean, compromise is about everybody walking away feeling a little pain. That's not a bad thing.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for being with us. And certainly this situation
Absolutely.
Will equate to one thing, and that is job security for you as a political analyst.
Oh, it's been a great year.
Great.
A great few years.
Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you soon.